What's going on, everybody? And welcome to my channel. I'm your host of KVV Podcast, David Grant, aka The David TM, and I'm glad that you guys are here. First and foremost, I want to take a moment to say thank you to all of my new podcasters. I appreciate you guys very, very much. Without you, there'd be no me, so thank you for your amazing support. All right, if you want to see more videos, feel free to hit that subscribe button or that like button. Matter of fact, make your voices heard down in the comment section. Let me know what you think. You know, we gladly take your comments. We gladly respond. We want to deliver fresh, innovative, fun, enjoyable, informative content. So let us know in the comment section what you guys think. A few of you have already made your voices heard, and I appreciate that. Keep it coming. All right, let's go ahead and get this show started. Here we go. Kings of Virtue and Value Podcast, Episode 2. 30-day challenge. Oh, this is going to be a good one. Let's kick it. What's good, everybody, and welcome again to my channel. Shout out to my kings and queens. Holla at your boy, the David TM, rocking the mic with words of affirmation and power for the soul. Let's get it. But before we do, let me just say, well, first of all, to those who are listening by Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Pandora, this is not for you. You just keep on listening to my melodic, grand, masculine voice. But to those who are watching by YouTube or Instagram, you might have noticed that we kicked it up a notch, okay? I've gotten a little bit used to just recording voice videos, like audio podcasts, and maybe just record the intros and the outros with video, but the actual podcast, I usually just do audio. But a couple of the fans, they said they wanted to see my face. They got tired of staring at a screen, a blank screen. So I said, you know what? Okay. You know, I listen to my fans. So here I am. I'm recording a video for you guys, me in all my glory, you know what I'm saying? So hope you guys like it. Here I am, you know, with my lights. I got my light from Temu. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Temu. It's hit or miss. Sometimes they give you good stuff. But I did enjoy these products right here. Temu, got these lights are really, really, really filling up the room. I got my Stream 1 cam with me. I mentioned my Stream 1 cam because I'm absolutely proud of it. Might be a little bit boastful, but that's okay. That's okay. Got my mic here. And hey, I'm ready to go. I'm wearing my glasses. I'm going to have to wear my glasses because y'all want to see my face, and that's cool. But I gotta be able to read my notes, all right? So let's go ahead and get this party started. Episode 2, 30-day challenge. But before we do, let's take you on a recap real quick, a real quick recap of last week's message so that we can use that as a jumping off point. You ready? All right, here we go. So I asked you gentlemen last week, do you consider yourself a man of high standard? I asked, what qualifies or disqualifies you as a man of high standard? Do you see yourself as a man of high standard through your own eyes or someone else's? The next thing I asked was, what did you think the word of God had to say about your worth and value? Okay, so I asked these questions for important reasons, and we're going to get to them in today's episode. But I also validated what God saw in us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, because we do validate everything with Scripture. And this is what it states, that we, talking about men and women of God, kings and queens, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of God who have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Furthermore, I called upon our faith to come alive and trust God by his promise in Jeremiah, one of my favorite scriptures, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you hope for a future. See, I love that. and I called upon all of us to affirm the value of God within us with faith and action, to rekindle the fire, to remember the dream, the visions, the plans that we made in our lives, visions that never die, the ones that we believe are God-inspired. And I called upon us to follow Psalms chapter 37, verse 5, where it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And then I solidified and summed it all up in this final verse in Psalm chapter 1, where it says, blessed is the man which walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the path of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. By this holy regard, a man is blessed, and the promises of God are sure in him based on these scriptures. So, where do we go from here? What do we do with this information, this knowledge that we have obtained? Well, I'll tell you what my body wants to do. My body wants to go downstairs and grab some cake. Man, I love cake. I don't know about you guys. I really enjoy cake. I like strawberry cake. I especially like vanilla cake. I like pound cake. I like egg. Oh, my brother makes a mean eggnog cake. You know what? Holler at me in the comment section. Let me know what kind of cake you like. Let me know. Rate how much you like cake for me. 5 being the weakest and 1 being the strongest. Let me know what your rating is. And for me, my rating is a definite 1, okay? But anyway, cake tastes good, but you know what? Cake is not going to help us to fulfill the promises of God, amen? So as we transition into this week's episode entitled The 30-Day Challenge, first, we must understand that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen. We must understand that God is sovereign in all things, including our future. We must learn to trust, honor, and obey him. Okay? We must trust him enough to be able to have honest conversations with him. Okay? We got to learn how to be honest with God. Part of the reason we don't know God is because we don't trust him. We don't have open conversations with him. Okay? An open, honest conversation with God is critical to your success. Okay? It basically tells us that we trust him enough to be able to hear what we have to say and not destroy us or not reject us. God can handle your honesty. How many of you know that? He can handle your hard questions. When we are honest with God, we actually open ourselves up to be vessels of honor for God to operate and speak to us in. Okay? When we are real with God, it brings us to a place of humility. Okay? That honesty drives out pride and conceit. Okay? When you're honest with God, the Spirit of God is honest with you. Not to say that it lies, but what's happening is that you are giving way to integrity, and it actually opens the door to humility, okay? When you're honest with God, you come to a broken place, and sin is exposed. And when your sin is exposed, you repent of your sin, and you turn away from it. And when you do this, you take away the source and power of pride and conceit, which is sin. All right. Sin is rebellion against God, and rebellion causes us to have pride. It causes us to be deceitful. It causes us to have conceit. But when you repent of your sin, you remove that pride and conceit out of your life. Therefore, your channel begins to open up and God can speak to your heart. Okay. So another thing that your honesty does, when you are open with God, you are able to receive revelation from God. As he speaks to you, deliverance begins to take place. And as deliverance begins to take place, we see it in the spirit. God begins to show us that we are being delivered while we are speaking with him. And as a result of being delivered, what happens? You can't help but to praise him. You can't help but to give him glory. You can't help but to give him honor for his delivering power. Okay, so all of this is leading somewhere, I promise. What happens is when you get to the place where you are delivered and you're praising God because of your honesty and your integrity, that has exposed your sin. You repent of that. But now you're in a place where you can truly hear the voice of God because you're in line with Him. When you recognize His sovereignty, you recognize that He alone is righteous and we are not. It causes us to see ourselves as we are and not what we try to pretend to see ourselves. Yes, God has called us righteous. God has called us holy. But recognizing His sovereignty causes us to strip away the layers that are not us, that are attached to our flesh. And that's why I said in Psalms chapter 37 and 5 last week, to commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. When you recognize His sovereignty, you are in the perfect place where you can put yourself in the hands of God as well as your plans. Okay? Now, as a result of that, we can take confidence in Jeremiah because we recognize his sovereignty. We take confidence in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where I said last week, where his word says, I know the plans that I have for you. It brings encouragement to the believer. That type of revelation makes us sure-footed in the things of God. And you know what else it does? It makes us sensitive to the voice of God. We begin to trust that He knows what He's doing, that He has a plan for us. It heightens our sensitivity to stay pure before Him and seek after holiness. Because anyone that is in a good place with God doesn't want to get out of a good place with God. Now, something else that I've always been excited about is that revelation begots more revelation. How many of you know that? Revelation begot more revelation. It's like a wildfire in a bush. One bush catches fire, everything else is going to catch fire. All the other bushes are going to catch fire. So when I say that revelation begots revelation, it's like one revelation fires our synapses and triggers oftentimes a scripture in the Bible that we forgot about or may know some of about but don't know it in full. That's happened with me so many times. And then what happens, curiosity will lead me to go read the scripture. And before you know it, that scripture triggers a human experience where I was found lacking. And what happens is now I got to repent for that too. And I praise God for that because once you repent for that, now you are purer and you open up yourself even more to the voice of God. You're heightened even more to sensitively. And sometimes that's what God does. He will bring things to your mind that will clear pathways, cause you to repent and clear pathways so that you can have a one-on-one with Him. All right. I'm telling y'all, we barely scratched the surface when it comes to the richness, the depth of the wisdom and both the riches of our God. We have barely scratched the surface. God freely gives His wisdom to those that desire it. How many of you know that? It is that wisdom that makes us hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness and holiness are essential to being able to see God. And righteousness and holiness sets us afire. And now we are thirsty for the knowledge of God. When we get to the place where we understand that we are righteous and holy and we walk in that righteousness and that holiness, we want to know more about God. We are experiencing the goodness of God and we become zealous for His kingdom. We want to know more about Him. It's like a fire shut up into my bones. Oh my goodness, like I can't contain it. We're brought alive by the word of God, by the knowledge. And when we receive that knowledge, it's so exciting that we just get busy about His kingdom work. And with that understanding, we can now take a stand against mediocrity. Mediocrity has been our biggest enemy as far as Christians are concerned. So when we understand all of this and have that knowledge, we are able to stand sure-footed with confidence because we trust in God's plans. So check this out, right? Whether you are in a good place with God or not, you still have a desire for your needs to be met. There are needs that need to be met. If you're in a bad place, you still want to feel relevant. You still want to feel loved. You still want to be comfortable. And the difference between someone that's in a place with, in a good place with God and not, is that the person that's not in a good place, even a Christian, works out of fear. They work because they fear the recession and are hurting from inflation. They don't work according to revelation and truth. They work according to fear, trying to maintain. And then when they maintain, once they spend and they have to give away that money to maintain, they're broke again. And that's a miserable place to be. But when we receive revelation and truth, and our relationship with God is reconfirmed, we work with joy and passion. And in the midst of working, we are still mindful of the things of God in our lives. And that's what he wants us to be. That's the place where he desires us to be. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. How many of you know that God is not an oppressor for his children? He does not want to overpower your will or your excitement for life. It is he who gave you your desires for the good things of life in the first place. He wants you to trust him to be a laborer with you. He wants your will and his will to sync up as one. Not the will of your flesh. The will of your flesh, those evil desires, that's what Jesus Christ meant when he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will only be done." See, God had Jesus Christ had a flesh will because he was in the flesh, but he also had a godly will. So when he said, "Thine will only," he was talking about his will as well, because he was synced with the Father's will. His plans were synced with the Father's will. And that's the same thing with you. You are joint heirs of Christ, which means your plans are synced with the will of God. So when you say, "Not my will, thine will only be done," you're not talking about the will that God made you to be. You're talking about that flesh will that wants to do things to please the flesh. All right, so what you think, guys? You guys are ready? You're excited? You're good? All right, here we go. We're going to talk about the 30-day challenge. Engage with me. I'm not going to be on here too long, but I want you guys to pick this up because I want you to have that knowledge, okay? So what is the 30-day challenge? Well, first of all, let's talk about the motive of the 30-day challenge. Why are we doing the 30-day challenge? Because we have motives. What is that motive I'm talking about today? And that motive is our purpose. That motive is why we are here, what we are passionate about concerning our destinies, the visions, the dreams, the desires that are interwoven within us. The things that we constantly think about. Think about it. You might have a passion for a business or nonprofit organization. You might love talking to people, or as they say, it's a gift of gab. Perhaps you have a special compassion for helping the poor or counseling those who suffer from drug or alcohol abuse. Maybe you've been called to street preach, to do street ministry, or have a strong love for music and want to sing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, this calling that God has given you has been woven into your DNA, your unique fingerprint, your unique strand. It is who you are because God made you to be this way. I'm not talking about sexual immorality. I'm not talking about a desire for drugs, alcohol, these things. Those are tied to your flesh. I'm talking about the spirit man that God has made you to be. But with that being said, you might have these dreams, but they have never been fulfilled. As we know, things happen in life. Life throws you curveballs. You might have made some mistakes that prevented you from going after those things. Money might have been tight. You might have to get a job, and it ended up taking over your life. Life happens that way. But, you know, all curveballs, of course, aren't bad. We're not gonna sit up here and pretend everything that we've done to, you know, especially when it comes to family. You might have fallen head over heels in love and gotten married, having kids, you know? And as a result, as much as you wanted to be a rock band artist, you know, you had to get realistic and find a job to provide for your children. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there are some things that are considered pipe dreams. Like me at 42 wanting to be an NFL wide receiver. That's just not going to happen. I'm freaking 42 years old. I've been wanting to be a wide receiver for the past 10 years. I should have been did it a long time ago. I think even 30 would have been too late. 32 would have been too late. You know what I'm saying? So some things are just pipe dreams, you know? But, you know, I will say this. Perhaps your story is not so glamorous. Perhaps you didn't get married and fall in love. Perhaps you ended up getting caught up like many men do. We end up getting caught up when we have sex outside of marriage. You might end up getting caught up with a child. And now you have some baby mama drama. Women, the opposite. You might have a spiteful or angry baby daddy, you know, ex-boyfriend. And that's not even talking about, child support, as well as the cost of expenses for separate single parent housing, dual single parent housing. Life can be rough sometimes and shake us off the path that we started on, you know, and we know that God is not going to allow us to shirk our responsibilities. You know, the word of God tells us that he who does not provide for his own has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So to those who stood up and be good fathers, I salute you. That's a good thing. The word of God says that you might as well have said you're not saved anymore because you did not provide for your own. The word of God says that you've denied the faith and are worse than an infidel. So I applaud you for that, you know, and maybe you might have some guys who never got married, never had children, maybe were sheltered in their lives. Maybe, you know, they had it easy growing up. You know, I didn't have it always easy. My mom always pushed me, but I was just too lazy. You know, I remember, you know, just so many times people telling me certain things that I need to do in life. And I did not want to do them because I was lazy. And not only that, I saw them struggling as well. They were telling me to do all these things, but then when I look at their lives, they're struggling. So I'm like, why would I want to do this? Why do I need to go out and do this? Get my own place, get this, get a car, get that, only for it to break down or only to have to struggle when I get to my new place. I was just handicapped mentally. You know what I'm saying? I allowed the enemy to handicap me mentally. And so, you know, it took a long time to rebound from that laziness. 35, I started to get my life together. You know, we live in an ever-changing and ever-growing culture. We can say we love God all we want, but slothfulness kills dreams. Laziness kills dreams more than anything. Laziness brings us into poverty. How many of you know that? So, you know, we got to make certain that we don't allow ourselves to be slothful and lazy. And for those who have had that happen, guess what? It's not too late for you. You know, I can testify to you from experience that God is a God of a second chance. He's a God of a third chance, a fourth, fifth, sixth chance. I might have been ashamed of my past because I was lazy, but I know for a fact that God can redeem the time. Not only have I experienced it, let me encourage you here in scripture in Joel chapter 2 about God redeeming the time. And this is talking to the Israelites after they had sinned against God. And God sent his prophet Joel to minister to them. He says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." So God is the one who sent these munchers among the people. I'm talking about spiritually, to eat away at their substance, to eat away at their access, simply to save them from dying and going to hell. God wanted to get their attention. So the scripture continues, it says, "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." See? God made promises to restore the years that were lost to the children of Israel. But he's no respecter of persons. You might have made some mistakes in your past and have a hard time forgiving yourself. God promises to those that put their faith and trust in him that he will restore the years that you have lost. You know, perhaps you might not have had a, you might not have done anything deceitful, or you might not have, you might have done it for the right reason. You might have chosen to serve God and to help others, make sacrifices, raising someone else's child is not yours or whatever. And you might feel that God has forgotten about you. Here in Joel chapter 2, he promises to restore the years that were lost. So it's important for you as a believer to trust in him, which brings us to today's challenge. Matter of fact, I encourage everyone to read Joel chapter 2. Read it, all of it. You will be blessed by the promises and the prophecies that are in it. Please, it's such a good read. It's only 3 chapters. It's a great read. But let's talk about the 30-day challenge. What is the 30-day challenge? Here's what the 30-day challenge is. It's a call out. I call out to all Bible-reading, Christ-believing, God-fearing men. It is a challenge where in 30 days, within 30 days, we set an order to do what it is that God has called us to do together. That's what the 30-day challenge is. Excuse me for 1 second. I'm sorry. Man, I really hope they didn't pick that. Mike didn't pick that up. I was just that thirsty, you know. You know, this is not easy, guys. It's fun, but it's not easy. So, in that 30-day challenge, we set out to do what it is that God has called us to do. And what I'm doing in this 30-day challenge, I'm challenging you to walk with me by faith and take the necessary steps to bring your calling to life. Rekindle the fire and go forward and make things happen. That's what the 30-day challenge is all about. Whatever your dreams, whatever your desires, whatever your plans, God has called you to. Whether it's starting a ministry, going back to school, starting a nonprofit, opening up a business. You know, faith without works is dead. Believing is not enough. We must do the work and apply it in the actions you take. Because your actions that you take are the evidence of your faith. How many of you know that? The evidence of your faith are your actions. And as believers, we need to step up and do what it is that God has called us to do. So here I created a 5-step strategy or plan of action, if you want to call it that, based on biblical instructions and principles of the Word of God. The plan of action is fire, and it cannot fail if you diligently commit to it. Fire! I can't get that high, guys. Fire. That's too high for me, so I can't get up there. I tried it. Yeah. All I was missing was some mutton chops and one of them 1960s Gibson guitar, you know. Hey there. God bless you, kings of virtue and value, and thank you for joining us for this episode of the 30-Day Challenge Part 1. We pray that you enjoyed it thus far and that you've been blessed by it. Keep it locked and stay tuned for part 2, where we discuss a 5-step strategy to take action to turn your dream from dreams to vision, from vision to purpose, and executing that purpose that you may manifest the will of God and walk in alignment with Him. Don't forget to comment. Don't forget to share with us your thoughts on the video thus far. Don't forget to share your ideas and suggestions of what you want to see in the coming future. We're going to create lots of brand new content. So just keep on, just keep up with us and let us know what your thoughts are. Subscribe if you would like to. All right, and we'll see you in part 2. God bless.